Ah, money.
Who wouldn't like to have more of it? Can I get a show of hands? It's okay, we can admit. I know that I get frustrated with life. When I get frustrated, it's tempting to think, if I just had a little bit more money, maybe life would be better. As if life problems can be solved with just money. Or maybe you've had the thought, if we just had more money, our church would be better off and we could do more ministry. As if the only way we can do church, can be a church, is by spending money. As a whole, our society tends to view money as a key to happiness. And yet, when we get some money, we always seem to want more. So does money really lead to happiness? It turns out there's a study for that. As much as we like to think money equates to happiness, it does not. Psychologists have done multiple studies of lottery winners over the years and found that winning the lottery, or even just gaining a sudden influx of money from an inheritance, does not affect one's long-term happiness. They have found that while there may be an initial raise in happiness at first, by the end of a year, winners' happiness level is back to the same level it was before they won. Instead, according to researchers, all of us have a set point of happiness, which means that our happiness remains relatively constant throughout our lives. In other words, our happiness level may initially rise or even fall in response to events like winning the lottery, but will return back to the base set level as time goes on. If we want to raise our happiness in life, we need to raise our happiness set point. And to do so, research shows that the trait most strongly associated with long-term increases in life satisfaction is in fact a persistent commitment to pursuing altruistic goals. That is, the more we focus on compassionate action, on helping others, the happier we seem to become in the long run. When we practice gratitude towards one another and create and build relationships with one another, we increase our long-term level of happiness. Sound familiar? Maybe we've been talking about it for the past month. Maybe. Looking at today's scripture, both the person yelling from the crowd and the man in the parable are focused more on themselves than on their relationship with others. Prior to our verses from today, Jesus has been focusing on the big picture and talking to thousands of people that have been following him. He's been talking about how one should publicly live out their personal faith. And as Jesus is encouraging the crowd to be fearless and faithful and be positive, along comes this person right in the middle, out of nowhere, whining and complaining about a very personal problem, apparently not caring whether he interrupts the larger crowd and the larger message or not. He just wants his problem solved. And yet, instead of ignoring the question completely or giving a judgment, giving an answer, Jesus uses the interruption as a teaching moment. Beware of greed. Beware of selfishness. It's not surprising then that the farmer in the parable is just as selfish as the crowd member. This parable is often called the parable of the rich fool. But the farmer is not a fool because he is wealthy or due to him saving for the future. The farmer is a fool because he believes that he has the power to be self-sufficient and is secure due to his wealth. He lives only for himself and has no sense of gratitude for God or even the workers that have helped him plant and harvest and build his barns. Within the parable, the farmer uses the first person, saying, I and my 11 times. Not one time does he use the word are or there or we. I don't know about you, but I definitely see myself in both of these main characters in today's scripture. It's not hard to, when money and material possessions represent so much positivity in our society today. They represent security, power, self-esteem, independence. I could go on and on. Yet, they also leave behind a sense of emptiness, of longing, of anxiety and worry. As Professor Elizabeth Johnson says in her commentary on Luke, our reality is that no matter how much we have, we are always aware of things we don't have. And so we never quite feel that we have enough. Like the farmer, we let our relationship to money and greed take front and center over our relationship with God. We detach ourselves from community and judge and label one another as other so that we can ignore needs different from our own. We keep ourselves from truly improving our happiness set point. Jesus is not condemning anyone for wanting to save the future. Just like the farmer in the parable, Joseph from Genesis of Technicolor Dreamcoat fame, builds new barns to store the abundant harvests and prepare for the future. The difference is that Joseph in Genesis is building them and storing grain so that the people of his community and beyond will have food in the years to come. Unlike the farmer, Joseph is not thinking of himself or even of greed. Remember, he even shares this grain that he stores with his family that tried to kill him. Throughout Luke, and over the past month in particular, Jesus has been teaching those following then and us following now what it means to be a disciple. In today's scripture, one might say Jesus recognizes that the world will try and lead all who follow him off track. Jesus is not condemning the crowd, the questioner, or us for going off track. Rather, he is teaching us how to recognize that we are and giving us directions on how to get back on. Verse 21 is translated in the Message as, "Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions." We must return to the path by moving our focus from money and possessions to the things that matter to God, creating God's kingdom here on earth. In the lectionary commentary, Richard Bachman writes that being rich toward God means trusting God enough to share what we have received. And Jesus today reminds us that we have received in the verses that I added on that the lectionary cut out. Just as God provides for and finds value in the flowers and birds, God does so for us. We are reminded that we have a relationship with God where we are loved unconditionally, where we have infinite value to God. We are all children of God. To share with others and give thanks to God, we are called to be in relationship with all people, to love all people, and to remember that all people are valued in the eyes of God. God's kingdom here on earth is not marked by inequality and poverty and senseless death, but by the sharing of God's abundant generosity and justice. As the gap between the haves and have-nots continue to grow in our society and world, it grows not because of God's actions, but because we as humans have become selfish and forgotten how to be fair and just in our living. We have replaced what truly makes us happy, what truly brings us joy, giving thanks and creating strong community and relationships with one another. We have confused it and replaced it with hoarding God's gifts and creating divisions among us. Imagine what our church, our community, our nation, our world could look like if we focus on God's will and seek God's happiness. Imagine a church budget where priority is given to starting new ministries in the community that invite non-church people to become involved, over maintaining traditional ministries where the same people show up and do the same thing every time. Imagine giving priority to homeless shelters and recovery centers over building a new jail or stadium or shopping center. Imagine all humans having value and being loved not just by God, but also by other humans. Imagine striving for connections instead of divisions. Imagine a world where sharing and earning are both given equal value. These are not just impossible dreams. Economic growth studies have actually shown that increased giving correlates with economic growth in America. All of God's children benefit when we share. When we follow God's will here on earth, we act with compassion. We share our gifts and strive to create relationship and community. When we act as true disciples and follow the lessons of Jesus, we find ourselves on the path to true joy. The path towards long-term happiness is in front of us right now, right here, today. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we going to take it? Amen.